The Church, in her wisdom, sets out weekly readings from the Gospels. These readings allow us to follow the life and teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ and the story of our salvation. Upper Room Media presents to you the weekly Sunday homily delivered from Sydney, Australia.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Let me tell you something I hate. Let me start by telling you something I hate. I hated this morning waking up early, having to drive in the dark, then I'm sitting here driving, and I had to put this annoying piece of fabric around my chest, and it's putting pressure on me. And if I don't put that piece of fabric on my chest, I have a beeping continuous sound for the entire 20-minute drive. So I have to listen to shut up that annoying beep on the car. I have to put this fabric around my chest, and I have to click the thing in, and it's called a seatbelt. So I have to wear this thing. So now here I'm driving, I feel constrained that I have this pressure on me because of this seatbelt. And not just that, there's nobody driving at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning. So what else do I have to do? I have to stop at a stop sign at a four-way intersection where I'm the only person up on a Sunday morning. And then not just that, after the stop sign, I get to a traffic light, and it's a red light, and I'm waiting at a red light, and there's nobody there. But I still have to follow the laws, and I still have to abide by all this stuff. Not just that, I get to the parking lot, and I have to park. I can't just park anywhere I want. I have to somehow follow these white lines, even though there's nobody else here. I got first dibs, and I have to still follow these silly rules as far as where to park. If I told you that I was so annoyed this morning by me following these silly rules, you would be concerned about my health. You would be concerned. Why? It's like something else must be going on with Father Nate. He must be annoyed by something else. You would think I'm crazy. These laws, I can either look at them in two ways. I can either say, this is so restrictive. This is like this seatbelt, this put the pressure on me is so restrictive. It's like it's just paralyzing me. It's debilitating what I want to do. I can look at it in that way. I can say the laws are restrictive. Or I can look at it and say, you know what, these laws, I don't know the science, I don't know how that stuff works, but somehow this gives me life. Yeah, there are no other cars. It's super tempting just to like drive past the red light. Kids, don't listen to me. And so you're tempted. But you know what? You say, okay, there has to be some laws for me to follow. Like, these laws are there for my health. They're there to guide me to safety. Let me just follow along. But I can look at it in one of two ways. I can look at the laws as being restrictive, or I can look at the laws being to give me life. It's up to me how I decide to look at the laws. One of my favorite verses. When people thought Jesus was just a phenomenal rabbi and just someone to kind of push down the law, Jesus says, I have come to give you, not law, I have come to give you life. And to give you life to the fullest. These beautiful words were recorded by a first eyewitness of Jesus. His name is St. John. And Jesus made it clear. I have come to give life. Not laws. Not do this and don't do that. I have come to give life. And not just life. I have come to give life to the fullest. Hence, our mission statement here at St. Mark Church is we exist to connect people to the fullness of life. Fullness of life, that sounds so catchy. Yeah, I love it. I love it. But found in the person of Jesus Christ following the ancient faith of the Orthodox Church. The fullness of life is where we find life, in the one who said, I have come to give you life. So many people were transformed by Jesus' life. So many people were transformed because he was so appealing. Like, he was such a radical of the time. Because, again, it's so easy for people to say, don't do this, don't do this, here's the Sabbath, you better not do that. It's all about laws, right? That was their mentality. So they expected a rabbi, a prestigious man like Jesus, to be doing the same. But Jesus says, I'm here for a relationship. I'm here to give you life. I'm here to give it to the fullest. And so many people who are nothing like Jesus were appealed to him, were attracted to the person of Jesus, and their life was never the same. One of those people goes by the name of St. James. Many historians will say that St. James is actually a relative of Jesus, either a half-brother or a cousin of Jesus. Half-brother from Joseph having a previous marriage, but if you're interested in that, I can talk to you about that later. But anyway, Anyway, they're relatives. We know that they're relatives. So St. James is we can kind of have a hint that he was kind of closer to Jesus. He's one of the disciples closest to Jesus. We always see him listed with a few other disciples, Peter, James, and John. So we have an idea that St. James is super close to Jesus, not just blood-wise, but just relationship-wise as well. And we know from church history that he ended up becoming a bishop of the city of Jerusalem, or he became the head of the church of Jerusalem. So he was a prominent leader in the first century to Jesus. Listen to these amazing words. You would, like, if somebody predicted their own death, overcame death, transformed the course of world history, and you are relative to this person, I want to listen to everything he has to say. I want to listen to everything that St. James has to say. So let us look into the words of what St. James said today in today's Catholic epistle. Be doers of the word, and not just hearers. Be doers of the word, but not just hearers. Let's pause right there. Deceiving yourself. It is so easy for me to hear the right word. Yeah, you know what? I need to do this. Yeah, it's good. That sounds good. I need to do that. It's easy to hear the right word. I need to do this. Yeah, I should, you know, be more engaged in my kid's life. Yeah, I need to be more present in my wife. Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to say the right thing. It's another completely different story to do it. So St. James is making a big point. Listen, you pursuing Jesus, my relative, is not just about saying you're a Christian. It's not about just believing the right things. Make this clear. It's about what you do. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Isn't it easy for me to hear the right thing? That, yeah, I need to do that. That person, yeah, well, he needs to be nicer. Like, yeah, he should be a better Christian. Doesn't he say you go to church on Sunday? He should be a better Christian, right? That's our view. That's deceiving myself. I'm deceiving myself if I'm pointing fingers and saying, well, they need to do this, they need to do that. Am I a doer or am I just a hearer? It's easy to fall into that trap, including myself. We continue. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, if I'm just a hearer of the word and not just a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. This is a weird analogy that St. James is giving. He's saying, if I just hear, yeah, I need to do this, yeah, that sounds right, I should be a better father, a better husband. I can say that. I can hear the right thing. But if I'm not doing it, that's equivalent to me looking in the mirror and me seeing a massive booger hanging out of my nose and saying, look good. And I walk away. That's silly. What's the point of me looking in the mirror if I see something disgusting on my face and I do nothing about it? That's like me looking, I see it, cool, and then I walk away. What's the point of that? What's the point of the mirror? But he, the point I'm looking at, but the person who's desiring more to life, the one looking in the mirror, but he looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. It is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. I love how intentional St. James is saying, the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the perfect law of liberty. I know tons of people who have walked away from the faith, or even maybe one foot out into this whole church thing, because they're like, man, it's all about don't do this and do this, make sure you fast, make sure you pray, and make sure you read the Bible, make sure you, and it's all about do's and don'ts. To them, it's all about do's and don'ts. And they said, man, I don't need to deal with all that. If it's just all about what I should do and don't do, if it's just checking a box, I want nothing to do with it. And I rightfully so, I totally understand where they're coming from. But they've completely missed the point. If they think it's all about doing this or doing that. But St. James is saying, look into the perfect law of liberty. If I told you the rites and the rituals and the laws of the church, a lot of you guys would not use the word, it's very liberating. Nobody would say, oh yes, a fast is coming up, that's so liberating for me to have a vegan diet. Nobody says that. Oh yes, a 2-hour liturgy service where I have to stand on my feet, that's so liberating. Nobody says that. But these laws, these guidelines, are liberating. They are liberating if we truly understand the essence of what they are. They are extremely liberating. For me to understand the essence and the beauty of the laws, they are there to liberate me. Not just for me to know the perfect law of liberty, but continue in it. I'm not a forgetful hearer, but I'm a doer. I execute on of the work. This one, the one who does this, will be blessed in what he does. you're here for whatever reason, but here is a high-level theme of why you're here. You want to be better at life. You want to be a better version of who you are. You're here because of that. I pray no one's twisted your arm to be here, unless you're a little kid, but you're here because you desire more out of life. It is so hard for us to do it alone. We live in a world of hyper-individualism. We live in a world of isolation more now than ever. And now I don't feel guilty for not coming to church because of what's going on. And we just keep our own issues to ourselves. We try to resolve our own issues ourselves. Maybe we have an interest. Let me just lean on God a little bit. Let me just give this prayer thing another shot. Let me give this Bible thing another shot. Let me give this church thing another shot. And I kind of do it on my own. But I always fall short. I lose momentum. I lose the courage. It's hard for me to do it alone. That's how we're wired. We're not created as individual beings. God didn't say, Adam, perfect, we're done. We can call it a day. We can rest now. No. God says, I'm creating you as a beautiful image of me, and you are created as a relational being. That God said, Adam cannot make it through this world alone. For him to find the fullness of life, he has to rely on someone who is equal to him. My friends, my point is this. We cannot make it in this temporal world alone. We cannot make it in this temporal world thinking I can do this whole church thing every now and then by myself and just pop my head in every once in a while. I can do this prayer thing by myself every once in a while. I don't want to go to church. Or it's all judgmental people and just the worst. I don't want to deal with that. I can do my own thing. I can live a good life by myself. I don't need to deal with any of that. Do not deceive yourself. Do not deceive yourself. The essence of what Jesus left us with is the movement of the church. And my friends, that is not a four walls. Especially if you are a member of St. Mark Church, you fully know that the church is not four walls. We've been in hotels and Jewish synagogues, and it doesn't matter, because the church is not four walls. And an integral part to the culture here of St. Mark Church is something called life groups. Life groups. And I'm teasing this out because we're going to begin this next month. You'll get more details. But I want you to understand this in heart. I want you to understand this in spirit. It's easy for us to live an isolated life, for me to keep my own problems to myself, for me to figure out life on my own. It's super easy. And just scroll away on YouTube, scroll away on social media, for me to try to like find comfort or just try to get through life. It's easy. It's easy to do that. And we just, if we have any problem, we just Google it. That's tempting to do. But where we find life is the one who gave us the biggest equipment for us to find life, which is the church. Again, that is not just services, but it's me being integrated into church life itself. This is where I find life. An early Christian by the name of St. John Chrysostom, he described the church being a hospital, not a social gathering, not just a place to make you feel good or a place to get some holy bread. He described the church being a spiritual hospital. You are here with heavy heart. In some shape or form, I'm here with a heavy heart. Where am I desiring to find life? In my own way? I got this. I know what I'm doing. Or am I wanting to find life in the one who is the source of life? Am I wanting to find life in the one who said 2,000 years ago, I have come to give you life and give it to the fullest? Or are we wanting to do our own thing? The church is where we find life. What does that mean now with the pandemic? What does church life look like? Yes, it's this. Good for you. I'm happy. Do you esteem others? Do you love others? Do you encourage others who are wanting to pursue the same life as a Christian as you? Or you keep life to yourself? Believe me, I'm not saying this to make anyone feel guilty. Have you checked up on anybody lately at church? Maybe you've seen them or not seen them. Have you esteemed them? Have you lifted them? This is hard. Life is hard, man. It's tough. Are we picking up each other or not? We're kind of doing our own thing. And maybe we do check up on each other. It's small talk, superficial. But this is the hospital for us to come to the true physician of our soul, body, and spirit, as we say. Or is it just a social gathering? I'm teasing this out because life group is a model that we have here at St. Mark Church, is where we can grow in deeper relationships. My goal is there's a number in my mind of what percent I want of the church family to attend, to be engaged in a life group. This is where we go and grow in relationships. This is how we grow. This is how we can have real life conversations in life groups. For those who are not aware, life groups is you attend a life group, it's 10, 12 people, and you grow together in that group throughout a season of the year. And you grow with them. for us to strengthen ourselves, for us to push each other, to esteem each other, to encourage each other. We need to follow that model in our life. The spiritual hospital, this was my slide, but I'll read it since you know, it's okay. The spiritual hospital, as our mother, liberates us from enslavement. The spiritual hospital, which is the church, is also our spiritual mother. Like the church is given the gender of being female. Not, and I'll explain why. We don't call the church it or there, but she. And the theology behind that is just as a mother is there to nurture a child, to raise the child toward life, the church does the same for us. The laws of liberty that the church gives us, that our Heavenly Father gives us, is not to enslave us, but to liberate us, to guide us. Just as a mother would say to a child, okay, you got this, one more step, you got this, you move on. It's not about do this and don't do this. This is why everything has to be taken with sensitive pastoral care. What I tell you might be different than what I tell the person next to you. Because I'm there to guide you, for us to guide each other. We need to move toward the epitome of the law of liberty. But I need to understand, okay, I'm desiring more to life. You are here because you desire more out of life. What is this law of liberty that I need to engage in, that I need to tap into, that I need to be ingrained into the rhythm of my life? What does that look like for my Monday or for my morning routine? What does it look like for my Sunday morning routine? What does it look like? How am I engaging myself in the law of liberty for me to find life, not just laws, but for me to find life? An early Christian from North Africa, his name is Saint Cyprian. Saint Cyprian says, you cannot have God as your father without the church as your mother. You cannot have God as your father unless you have the church as your mother. I want to make this clear. Both have to go hand in hand. Maybe some of you are thinking, man, I could do this whole God thing by my own. Like, I don't need to deal with all that. Like, just there's corruption always in the church. I don't want to deal with any of that. So I can do my whole church thing. I can do my whole God thing. I can do my own quiet time, my prayer, my meditation, whatever terms you want to use. I can do that on my own. You cannot have God as your mother unless you have the church as your mother. You cannot have God as your father unless you have the church as your mother. Both have to go hand in hand in order for me to grow toward the fullness of life. Both have to go hand in hand. All right? Just in case it's hard for you to unlearn that church is all about do this and don't do that. Just in case it's hard, which I totally get it. Just in case you struggle with that. Don't take my words. I'm telling you, this is a hospital for us to have a relationship, for us to come to the physician. Let's say that's hard for you to grasp because you have been told otherwise your whole life. I get it. Don't take my words. Take the words of St. James. Take the words of a relative of Jesus. Take his words. Don't take mine. Take the words of a bishop of Jerusalem. Let's see what he has to say. If anyone among you thinks he is religious, if anyone thinks that, you know, you're spiritual, that you have a great connection with God, and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's way of life, this one's religion, is useless. Let's read this again. If anyone you thinks that he is spiritual, and he does not keep track of what he's saying, kind of just says whatever is on his mind, and justifies what he wants to do, I have every right to say that. You take it or leave it, and I justify what I want to do. Man, your religion is useless. Your way of life is useless. Because you're not a doer. You're deceiving yourself. Whatever you pursue is useless. Because again, he's talking about a holistic way of life. It's not a Sunday morning thing. It's not a morning routine thing. It is my breath. It is how I deal with conflicts. It's how I deal with stress. It's how I deal with my physical health. It's the way I deal with every aspect of who I am. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. If I pause right there. Pure, I intentionally removed it. St. James is saying, pure and undefiled religion is this. So, he puts a colon. He wants to describe, what is the epitome for me to have the utmost faith? For me to pursue the fullness of life? What is that? How can I, like, you're here because you want the fullness of life. So, this is a great question. Pure and undefiled religion is this. Pure and undefiled for me to reach the epitome of the way of life. For me to be the best version of me as being a man of God, a woman of God, a child of God. For me to attain that. I want that. You're here because you want that. We're here because we all want that. How do I attain that? Our natural reflex is, what do I need to do in order for that to be accomplished? What does St. James say? Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble And then the second half, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. Okay, maybe you're thinking, okay, orphans, widows, I really don't know that many. Don't get stuck on the detail, but capture the spirit. What are orphans and widows? Those who are underserved. Those who struggle maybe in a different way than you. So he's saying, pure and undefiled way of life toward God is what? Colon. To visit those who are underserved. To extend love to those maybe who you don't really think about. To push it past your own comfort zone. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus. This is where we are empowered to abide in him in a literal way. But to me, to be a true follower of Christ, it's not about your necklace. It's not about whatever. It's how we push ourselves to serve those who are not being served. To visit orphans and widows in their trouble. And the second half, to keep yourself unspotted from the world. That is so hard. We live in a world where we're just drowned of, I do my own thing, you do your own thing. We're in a hyper-sexualized world. We're being pulled in all those directions at all times. But for me to rise above that, for me to say, okay, you know what? It's great to love the world. I want you to enjoy the things of the world, but don't drown in it, right? That's not the end of what we say at the end of the Catholic epistle. Do not love the world nor the things which are in the world. Do not be drowned by them. We can live in the world but not be in the world. We can live in the world. I want us to be engaged in politics and society and social justice. I want us to be in that. But for us to understand there's more to life than this. Like, we need to have a healthy balance of both. But for us to pursue life and be in this world unspotted. So many things pull us down. What identifies us pulls it down. We think what identifies us is my career, my marital status, my whatever. My gender defines me, for crying out loud. All these things are pulled to that. All that stuff defines me. And I go to town, that's what defines me. No. What defines is us being an icon of the beauty of God. I need to rise above the noise of this world for me to be unspotted, as St. James says. On there with this. What are we doing to find the perfect law of liberty? We can either look at it as being restrictive. That's not for me. Maybe that's for, you know, priests, and that's for other people. I'm spiritual, but I'm not religious, right? Like, maybe that's your view. But if I want to attain life, why don't I just look at the source of life? Why don't I just gaze into the one who is the source of life? Why don't I align every aspect of who I am with the one who is the fullness of life? I'm telling you, there's enough things pulling our marriages, enough things pulling our kids. There's enough things that are pulling ourselves, pulling our soul away from life, pulling ourselves away from God. But if we can ask ourselves, man, if this early Christian, St. James, a relative of Jesus, viewed life as being liberty for me to follow guidelines to lead me to life, to be liberating, I want that. If he found life by looking at the life of Jesus and he abided in him in a real way, and I want the same. You desire rest. I desire rest. You desire life. I desire life. But maybe for me to look at the church through a new lens. This is where I come with my brokenness, with my flaws, for me to be made whole. Let us put this in our prayer, that this is not just a checkbox. I did my church thing. I did my whatever. But for me to find life in him, because his law is liberating. His law is what gives me life. It's not the checkbox. Let's put this in our prayer for the next 20 and 30 minutes. And I want you to add another thing to your prayer. Pray for our church family. Pray for our church family. Pray for those maybe you haven't seen or heard for a while. Maybe pray for those who have been baptized over the past couple years. Pray for Rebecca by name as she's taking a huge step for her own personal growth and toward her future marriage, God willing. Pray for them. Not just, yeah, we should pray. But pray for them for real. To him be all the glory forever and ever. Amen.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.